our rock. Lord, you are our shelter, our sword and shield. Thank you, oh dear God.
Thank you,
one of these old days, Lord, that we will say hello to you and goodbye to this old world. But Lord, until then, oh God, we ask, oh God, that you would strengthen and empower us, oh Father God, Lord, for the work that you have set at our hearts and hands to do. And we pray, oh dear God, Lord, that we would do it well. We would do it without any regrets. That we would do it, oh Father God, as if it was our last day here on earth, oh God. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus,
he
who is our Savior, he who is our sacrifice, he who is our suffering servant. Thank you, oh dear God, that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And thank you that by his stripes, dear God, we are healed. You took care, oh God, of our sin sickness.
Thank you right now, God.
By allowing your son Jesus to be our sin bearer. So, God, we thank you now,
thank you right now, Jesus.
For Jesus, because of the stripes that he took, for the beatings that he took, the spitting upon that he took, the plucking of his beard that he took, the accusations that was leveled against him, oh dear God. Thank you for the smote him in his face. All of this because of our sins. Thank you that he was able to bear up under it all. And so, Lord, as we come today, so many things we have to thank you for. But Lord, I just can't go on without just saying thank you for salvation. Thank you for eternal life. Not the cars, not an income, not for a house, not for trips and all of those things, but thank you for my salvation, because it cost you something. It cost you giving up your only begotten son, which he made it right that you and I could come to you, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, definitely I thank you for everything. But I'm most grateful that you didn't let me die in my sin.
Yes, God. Thank you now.
I'm most grateful that you sent a sin bearer. Dear God, that we didn't have to go out like that. But thank you now that through and by the confession of our mouth and believing in our heart that you, God, raised Jesus from the dead, that we have life now abundantly. Thank you. So, Lord, you've given me another opportunity, another preaching privilege. Now, God, I ask now, God, that you will help me to keep you the center of every word that proceeds from my mouth. You're the center of preaching. You are the centrality of preaching. And God, if we don't talk about your son Jesus, we haven't preached. The gospel has not been preached. So God, I pray and ask that your people will open up their hearts to receive the gospel of Christ. Their ears to hear the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God to salvation for all them that believe. So may your word edify, enlighten, encourage, and inspire us. But most of all, oh dear God, we will not leave this place without being transformed. Thank you. My God, I need you. And Lord, I'm desperate for you. Lord, I'm desperate for you. I'm fiending for you, oh God, because I need you. You know how I feel. And so, God, through you, all things are possible. So, Lord, touch my voice. Lord, because I speak for you. I do not speak to impress, but I want to speak today to impact your people. In Jesus' name, let the redeemed of the Lord say amen. Amen. And amen. 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 If you truly love the Lord, come on in along with me. Let's give him a great big round of applause. Amen. While you're standing to your feet, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. Second Timothy.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
If you get to Thessalonians, just keep flipping. Keep on flipping back and left. You run into it. If you go too far, you're going to end up in Titus. Amen. Second Timothy. And we want to look at verse 7. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. And it reads, for God has not given us spirit of fear. But here's what he's given us. He's given us power and of love. He's given us a spirit of a sound mind. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. When you say us, he's talking about the believers. Now, if you're not saved, fear is all over you. But for a believer, he's not given us the spirit of fear. But the spirit he's given us is a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want to speak from this topic. There is an app for that, dealing with fear. Amen. You may be seated. There is an app for that, dealing with fear. There is an app for that, dealing with fear. To God, who is our Father, to Jesus Christ, our Savior, Holy Spirit, our Comforter, to the absence of Reverend Moore, Reverend Johnson, to our officers and mothers that are present on this morning, to our ushers, thank you for helping us to navigate through this service, to our music ministry. You bless me so. Thank you for those words of encouragement. And to all of our Father's children that are present on this morning, whether you be a member, visitor, or friend, it is just good for us to be here. Amen. Amen. God, I won't be before you long. God takes no credit for the spirit of fear. And I know I'm right about it because the text just assured me of that. That's something he does not give. It's a spirit of fear. And if you got it, and if you're operating in it, you didn't get it from God. Fear is something that God never planned in which believers should function. Because there's something about fear is when you operate by it, you have a tendency to withdraw from the assignment. Fear is never a healthy environment for the believer. Why? Because it interferes with our ability to be productive, to be positive, and to be progressive. It is because of fear, I believe, is the reason why the church is not filled to the brim with those who are lost, those who are hurting, who are despised, those who are rejected, unloved, and detested. That's why the church is not full, because we have fear. I'm going to help you out. But this text teaches me something this morning, is that God does not give us the spirit of fear, but it seems that everyone is afraid of something. Whether it be Donald Trump, whether it be surgery, spiders, snakes, roaches. I don't know why we're scared of roaches, because rats, we grew up with them. Amen. They ought to be our best friends. Ought to be our pets. Amen. Yeah, we're afraid of something. Well, there's financial setback. Look at some of us. Some of us are afraid of old age. But my dad, I'm glad I'm not afraid of aging, because my dad always told us that, son, just live long enough. Some of us are afraid of gray hair. Yeah, don't let this fool you. Amen. And I ain't trying to die either. Amen. Amen. Yeah, some of us are afraid of wind and rain. Some of us are afraid of the dark. I don't know why we're afraid of the dark, because guess what? We always do wrong stuff in the dark. Some of us are even afraid of disappointment and put downs. We all have some type of fears. But I noticed some in the opening of these texts. And in 1 Timothy 1:1, he writes Paul. This is Paul, right? He writes of himself an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God in 1 Timothy 1:1. Which that word means a call, been called of God. But Paul here in 2 Timothy verse 1:1, he writes this. He said, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. What Paul says, he says, look, I'm doing this work as an apostle by the desire of God, and not of that myself. It is God's will that we don't live in fear. It's his desire that we don't live in fear. But we're living in times where people have no clue how to live with no fear. We live in times now that people will rob and kill an individual for no apparent reason at all. We live in a time where children will stare down an adult and will cuss you out. I know I'm right about it. We live in a time where children are violently harassing their parents about your money. And let me stick a pin right there, and you so crazy because they ain't never harassing you about your money, you give it to them. I wish a Negro would. Amen. I'm going to break you off a little something, something. Don't let this fool you. Amen. Yeah, we live in a time where citizens no longer fear the police. Yeah, because of the corruptness in our judicial system. Fear is a mysterious monster that plays no favorite, that refuses to keep friends and shows no mercy. Even in the Bible, we can see where men were stalked by their fears. Give you, for instance, Abraham. He was so full of fear that he lied about Sarah being his wife. Jacob displayed fear of Esau after he done beat his brother out of his birthright. And when it was time for him to come back home, and he said, "Jake, we see your brother Esau. He's got a band of soldiers with him." And Jacob began to put a plan in place. And in the plan that he put in place, he said, "Now, I don't care about him killing them ugly sisters and their children, but this good-looking, fine sister, Rachel. I wish I had some folk that knew their power. Yeah, they can get away, amen." Moses, he feared Pharaoh. Yeah, because Moses said, "Now look, God, I can't go down. I can't talk that well. I say to this man, I have a stutter in my speech." And the disciples, guess what? They even feared the storm. Here it is, men have been fishing all this time and experienced storms many times and times again. But this storm, they were afraid of. Fear is a fact of life, and a fact of life that keeps many from living an abundant life. Fear is not God's will for your life. God, again, has not given us the spirit of fear. So what is fear? Fear, my brothers and sisters, is a little dark room where negatives are developed. Yeah. What are you saying? That's that little definition. That's enough, because fear, again, is a little dark room where negatives are developed. And so fear will make you negative. You know I'm right about it. Fear is caused by sin, selfishness, and Satan. Sin causes us panic. It leads us into paralysis, and sin makes us prisoners. Fear, rather. Fear keeps you from work. It keeps you from worship. It keeps you from witnessing. It keeps you from walking down the aisles. Fear. So then there is an app that God gives in this text for dealing with fear. First app he gives is that you got to admit your fear. Closing your eyes won't do it. But you have to open your eyes to face your fear. Your fears never went away by you closing your eyes. But you have to face your fears head on. That's the problem with many of us in the church, is that we're too prideful to admit what it is that causes us to be fearful. But what we'll do is sit in front of the mirror. Or we'll sit there in front of the television and say, along with our favorite televangelists, who will tell you, "Don't you speak that. I know somebody don't like that." And I know we hear that all the time. But baby, you don't have to speak it. But until you admit it and be honest with God first and yourself, then your fear is going to remain. I know I'm right about it. Here is the truth. See, fear happens when there is too much of me and too little of God. And that's the real reason why we can't witness to the lost, is because it's too much of us and not enough of him. Fear keeps us nervous about ministry and ministering. Why? Because it's too much of us and not him. That's why in many churches the administration of it is jacked up, because folk do things to make themselves look good for fear of their names not being called or their work not being recognized. It's too much of us and not enough of him. Until we admit the obvious, we will be like a car stuck in the mud. The wheels are just spinning round and round, making a whole lot of noise, All can be heard is north, and even the splattering of mud can be felt, but no progress is being made. Baby, you got to face your fears and admit it to God. And then be honest with yourself. That's the first app he gives to us for dealing with fear. The second app he gives for us dealing with fear is that you got to activate your faith. Now, God's answer to fear is faith. I know right about it because it's in the text. He helps us to see then that to be able to get over the hump of fear is through faith, through having power, love, and a sound mind. He helps us to know this. Watch this. I drew a contrast. What does God give us and what does Satan give us? What does God give you and what does the devil give you? Well, here's what God gives us or gives to you and I according to Paul. Paul said God gives you confidence because he hasn't given you or me or us a spirit of fear. And so God gives you confidence instead. And there's a difference in being confident and being arrogant. God gives you power or strength. He gives you love and he gives you a sound mind, which means he gives you wisdom. And one translation says this about the word sound mind. He gives you self-control. We're going to talk about that. Following that out, God brings balance into your life. And so God is a source of confidence, strength, love, and wisdom. So then in contrast, watch this. The evil one gives you fear. He gives you weakness. He gives you hate. He gives you confusion, which leads to instability. And so we could ask, so all we could do then, brother, this morning is just what we just need to do a little check on ourselves this morning. That's what we really need to do this morning is do a little check on ourselves. And that check is, my brothers and sisters, what is going on in yours and my life right now? What fears that's going on in yours and my life right now? Because guess what? If you and I were to take a quick inventory of our life, is my life more characterized by confidence, strength, love, and balance? Or is my life characterized by fear, weakness, hatred, and confusion? You answer that question. I didn't come with one of them other kind of sermons this morning. Because, see, we need to be challenging our thinking. What is it in my life? Where am I at right now when it comes to fears? When it comes to my faith, where am I at now? You tell me how you are feeling, guess what? And I tell you who gave it to you. Because there's just certain things that God don't give. And fear is one of them. Watch this. He helps us to activate our faith. So if your faith to deal with this app, to give us an app to deal with fear, in order then to activate your faith, guess what he does then? He gives us power. He gives us an app of power. He gives us power to confront the fears. Watch this. God is a power-sharing God. And let me say that he ain't like us. You got us in power. We don't want to share nothing. We want to die out in power. You ain't going to say amen. I know you weren't going to say amen then. We want to die out in authority. Because we don't want nobody to know nothing that we do. Y'all ain't going to say amen today, is it? But guess what? My home ain't never scared to preach. Amen. God wants you to know his power. And he wants you to share in his power. We must be like Paul in his letter to the church at Philippi in chapter 3 and 10, where Paul, who desire, he said, my desire is to know God and the power of his resurrection. When Paul began to count things as loss, then was the power of God made ready for him to experience. And until we start counting things in our life as loss, we'll never experience the power of God. And this was the time that Paul could confront his fears. You'll never confront your fears, baby, until you count them other things as loss. It is the Holy Spirit then that infuses power into our spirit. Watch this. Watch this. It's not this other stuff that we do, but it's the Holy Spirit that infuses power. It ain't your traditions. It's not none of that other stuff. It's the Holy Spirit that infuses power in our spirit. But watch this. But we do not receive power until we begin to serve. I knew that went over somebody's head then. Because here is the truth, baby. What God looked like giving you power just to sit around and do nothing? That's a waste of time. That's a waste of power. What I look like giving you, I mean, what I look like giving you $5 to go down here and pick up me a bag of them rougher hot flames that I so dearly like, and you still sitting here and you ain't went down there and got them yet? That was a waste of time. God ain't going to give you no power, supply you with no power unless you're doing something. Can't confront fears if you ain't doing nothing. This is the perfect virus for fear. When you look, God done gave you what you needed, but you won't do nothing. How can you tackle your fear and you ain't living for Christ? What you need power for? Power is needed when we exercise our gifts for him. When we live for him. That's when he'll inject power into our spirit to face fears, to face our difficulties, and our trials. But until then, God ain't going to give you nothing, and you ain't doing nothing. Yeah, he wants us to discover peace when we are panicking. He wants us to experience endurance when we are empty. He wants us to embrace courage when we are cowardly. He wants us to embody power when we are powerless. But to experience this, guess what? To have to deal with that, you got to activate your faith. When his faith was activated, God empowered Moses in leading the stubborn Jews out of Egypt. When his faith was activated, God empowered David to be able to fight Goliath. When his faith was activated, he undergirded Daniel as he stood for his conviction in the midst of a den of hungry lions. When his faith was activated, he emboldened Peter as he forged the early church, and he supported Paul throughout his trials through fire. When your faith is activated, and you ought to be able to recall a time after time how God has proven himself to be trustworthy when you had to confront your fears. So then you ought to pray. Lord, I want to be consistent and not crisis oriented. Yeah, I want to be consistent like Moses was at Mount Moriah. I want to be consistent like Joseph were in the Egyptian prison. I want to be consistent like Peter were in the Roman prison. I want to be consistent like John on the Isle of Patmos. Somebody needs to tell God right now, look, God, you put me in this place. I got to live in this place. I got to work in this place. God, you might not stop the roaring, but please close their mouths. See, here's our problem. See, God is empowered. If God has empowered us to confront our fears, if he's doing it, then, baby, don't let envy eat me up. God, don't let corruption consume me. Don't let discouragement digest me. Don't let sadness swallow me up. When you get God's power, it connects the promise of you can have that with you can do this. You can have that blessing. You can have that crown. You can have what your heart desires. You can do this what seems to be a burden. You can do this, bear your own cross. You can do this what God desires. The next app he gives us to be able to deal with fear is that of love. love to calm the fear. Yeah, love calm fear. Fear, watch this, will either push love out of you or love will push fear out of you. John helps us to see this because in 1 John 4:18, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. Listen, if you really love someone, there is no need to fear him. Why? Because in God, we have love. And when you really love him, he gives us a peace and an assurance of soul that erases all fear. Only those, watch this, who know the peace and assurance of God is the believer whose fears are calm. Why? Because they're being perfected or matured in love. They're growing and growing in love, and they're becoming complete, strong, stable, responsible, and developed in love. That's why I don't be tripping with folk when they start all that loud talking, you know, and trying to get their way. Because you know what I found out from this text? God helped me to see this from that text. Is that those are people that are full of fear. That's what it is. They are full of fear, which is an indication that love is being pushed out. So when somebody is raising their voice and clowning and acting a fool, guess what? You ain't got to trip with them. The text just let me know, it just helped me, that guess what? There's a missing of love there somewhere. Fear is in the place of love. People are afraid of three things. What is it? Their past, their present, their future. They're afraid of their past because guess what? It haunts them. They're afraid of their present because it upsets them. And they're afraid of their future because they're threatened by it. That's a trilogy of terms that strangles even the saints of God. Because for most of us, the reason we don't do, see, that's why we don't do what we ought to be doing in the body of Christ, because of fear. We're afraid of our past. And so now look, let me tell you again. I don't care nothing about my past. I don't care what you or no other Negro may say about me in my past, because one thing I know that I have been is vindicated by God. And what you say don't mean a hill of beans. And if God could use a donkey to speak, I'm quite sure he can use an old low-down wretch like me. I didn't say you like me. I'm the only sinner in here. Amen. If he can use me, I know if he can use a donkey, whatever, he can use anybody. So I'm not worried about my past. I'm not tripping about my present. But guess what? Only thing, look, I got a bright future that's coming. The Bible, watch this, has three main headings. I'm going to say this and then we're going to get out of here. Listen at this. God says something to us. God does something for us. And God wants to do something in us. The Bible tells us who to love and how much to love them. He says we ought to love God, our neighbors, strangers, salvation, God's name, God's word, wisdom, mercy, truth, peace in our enemies. Yep, our enemies, one another, the saints, the brethren, husbands, wives, and children. That's who to love. Then the Bible tells us how much to love them. We are to love them with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength. That's God. And then we are to love exceedingly without hypocrisy. We are to love with sincerity, fervently, not in word, but in deed. That's how much to love them. Then the Bible tells us that what love avoids. Love is not rude. Love is not selfish. Love is not resentful or irritable. Love does not laugh at someone's failure. Love is not jealous nor envious. That's what love avoids. But Paul does tell us what love does. Love bears all, hopes all, believes all, endures all, is patient, is kind, rejoices in right, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Then he tells us with affirmation, love never fails. So where you got love, fear got to go. That's what love does. See, we see God all around us. I don't know about you, but I see him all around me, because guess what? Peace is love at ease. Look, Bible study is love when it's read. Prayer is love talking. Witnesses is love walking. Preaching is love pleading. Worship is love needing. Joy is love burning. Hope is love yearning. Patience is love waiting. And praise is love celebrating. Wherever God is, love is all around us. Then the last app he gives us under the heading of activating your faith is that he gives us the app of a sound mind. All of us need a sound mind. Because without God, we are cuckoo and we are puff to puff. We crazy and stone out our mind. So what God does in the midst of fear, he gives us a sound mind to conquer fears. Watch this, and I'm done. When dealing with fear, one has to display a sound mind or a discipline. Or discipline. That word is sophronismos. That's what that word is in the Greek. I got the impression from time to time. It's sophronismos. And you can't act out of control when facing fears. That word means self-control. It means to have some control. And what this Greek word indicates is that your mind must be brought under the control, watch this, of the Spirit of God and of the Word of God. See, it just can't be one way. See, it got to be the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And if you ain't getting no word in, how in the world you expect to be controlled by it? How you expect to have a sound mind when you're in the midst of fears? Because if not our faults, watch this. Here's the real deal. Our faults, if you just be honest, they can run wild. They can be like Rihanna, say, wow, wow, wow thoughts. Because when I'm with you, all I get is wild thoughts. There are some places and some peoples we just can't deal with and be around, because all we get around them is wild thoughts. And baby, you need a sound mind. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. That just went over everybody age 60 plus, maybe. Amen. Yeah, you got to know about my girl Rihanna. Amen. Amen. My young folk, where you at? Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen. All y'all that still go to the club, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen. Our thoughts can't rear one well if they're not countered by the thought that God cannot make any mistakes. See, when I'm done. When a train goes through a dark tunnel, if you are afraid of the dog, watch this. You don't throw away your ticket and jump off the train. Because you got a sound mind. You sit there and you sit still and you trust the engineer. What are you saying, Myron Holmes? This is what we have to do when dealing with our fears, is to sit still and have faith, because we serve an engineer that's brave. We have an engineer whose job is to get us over Jordan's swelling tide. Yeah, and when your mind is made up and your fears are brought to the cross where they are and can be crucified, you can handle your Red Seas. You can handle your walls of Jericho. You can handle those fiery furnaces. And when your mind is made up, you can handle those 9-foot-tall giants. You can handle those issues of blood for 12 years. You can handle your thorn in the flesh. And if you find anything, God, that shouldn't be, we ought to shout out to God, replace it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anybody want some things replaced? Replace fear with faith. Replace anger with forgiveness. Replace doubt with hope. Replace, look, madness with love. Replace judgment with grace. Replace bitterness with trust. Replace pride with humility. Replace envy with kindness. Replace cowardice with courage. Replace impatience with perseverance. Replace hopelessness with compassion. And replace selfishness with generosity. God, we need some things replaced. Because guess what? Perfect love casts out fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind, a disciplined and controlled mind. That's what God has given us. And my friend, that's the word for today. I'm done. That's the word for today.